Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Parr. This morning, my guest is Brendan Phillips, who is with Smart Carpets. Brendan, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I heard about your company recently on PR Wire and saw that you had a unique approach to the market and thought it'd be interesting to delve into a little bit. You sell consumers flooring using mobile showrooms, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We started 20 years ago as mostly carpet, but we've really evolved heavily into all products.
And from the very beginning, this has been your approach to go to the consumer's home and sell them in the home.
Right, with a mobile showroom.
All right, so what is your service area?
Primarily the entire state of New Jersey, eastern Pennsylvania, parts of New York, not much. And for certain customers, we've delved out of state beyond that, those borders.
How did you get into the flooring business?
Well, that was, oddly enough, a bit of an accident. During college, I was working in the civil engineering field and the construction management field. And the latter part of the 80s, early 90s, there was a recession, and the real estate industry dried up. So I had to take any job I could find at the time. I was young, and I ended up working for, of all things, an advertising agency, which was a complete shift of a knowledge base, but I seemed to do well with it. That particular business was very small. The owner didn't have a lot of clients, and he was unable to really afford a large paycheck. But I learned a lot, and one day I just needed to make some money, so I took a job at a large retail carpet company, who was, at the time was the largest in the Northeast. And I did that for about a year and a half. Then I went back into the advertising business for 3 years, and then decided I wanted my own business, and I decided, okay, I needed something that I knew how to bring to market and execute on the full life cycle of the sale. And oddly enough, it was carpet and flooring. I just said, all right, I know how to do that. Let's take my marketing experience. Let's take the widget of carpet and flooring and see what I can do with it.
Okay, interesting. So when you studied in college, you studied marketing, or what was your field of study?
Yeah, it was. I got a business degree primarily.
Yeah, okay, interesting. All right, so, you know, there's buying groups out there. Are you a member of a buying group?
No.
And when you look at the products that you sell, are you aligned with any one supplier, or you carry the full gambit of materials out there?
We carry a huge, I'm very much into carrying as many brands as possible. So we have strong, you know, alliances with our suppliers, but we're not exclusive to anyone.
Yeah. You know, one of the issues I think that's out there in retail is this phenomenon called clutter. Obviously, you have to cut through the clutter if you've got a mobile showroom because you have a limited amount of space on that truck.
No, to an extent. Most customers need enough choice to feel like they've done their shopping, so you do have to present them with enough of a selection so they can feel they've exhausted the need to shop. So that is true. But at the end of the day, consumers ultimately buy similar things, you know, and we always make the joke that they need an hour to figure out which beige they want, you know, not to be derogatory towards our consumer. It's more just, you know, if you understand your consumer, then you understand how to service them. And our mobile showrooms are pretty much, you know, all the same. They're standardized, and we have a very large selection. Oddly enough, if you were to go with a full-size display for all the products we carry, you would probably need a 4,000 or 5,000 square foot showroom to do it.
Okay. Do you think this approach to the market works better now because of the situation where the consumer has limited amount of time and you're coming to them and kind of working on their schedule?
I think we went through an enormous growth period where we expanded our mobile showrooms up to 50 on the road at one time. During the, what I call the bubble years of the 2000s, when the economy was probably falsely on fire, but it was nonetheless. And back then, I would say what you just said was very true. It seemed that when there was money at hand for the consumer, convenience became paramount. After the recession of 2008, prices become the most important part. People are very conscientious about what they're spending, and deservedly so, I guess, considering the market. But I would have to say that I don't know that convenience is as important to them as the price is now. And it has admittedly become more of a challenge to market this model. So we have to be clever about how we do it.
Yeah.
Good news for us is we've installed over 150,000 customers in the time that we've been in business. So we're well known in our market. So we get a lot of residual business, if you can call it that, for our, you know, in our industry. Flooring is very not much a residual business, but we get a lot of referrals. Our network is big.
You know, hasn't the progression of technology opened more doors for you? Because, I mean, you're listed on Yelp now, and I think a big part of your front door is the internet, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's inherent when you're dealing with a shopping home because it's a virtual concept, even though there's, you know, there are brick and mortar buildings, and we have several buildings, but there's nothing that the traditional consumer would walk into and walk around and shop. And plus, the consumer today has become very much more in tune with buying online. So yes, it was a almost natural progression for them to be comfortable with the shop at home model, at least initially. And as you pointed out, the social media out there, you got to be very careful with it, because you could have, as we do, hundreds of thousands of happy customers and then one or two bad ones, and they seem to find their way to the top of search engines. And the many, many, many happy customers are expected to be happy, so they really don't participate in that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's got its upsides, its downsides. It's just a different dynamic.
Yeah. Who do you think you compete with? Do you think you compete with the home centers the most, or who do you consider your competition?
Anybody who sells carpet or flooring to me is competition. The minute you try to isolate one competitor, then you may be shooting at the wrong target. But if I had to say the entire industry is competing with Home Depot and Lowe's, at least the perception that there's value there. Our experience is that we provide a much higher level of service for what is considered a comparable price. But you look at I think it was in your magazine, that Home Depot and Lowe's have taken the largest piece of market share last year in all of the time that they've been doing the carpet and flooring business. And that's not to say they're necessarily doing a better job for the consumer, but the perception is that they are.
Okay.
And that's a price-driven thing.
One last question. What trends have you seen? I mean, yeah, your name, Smart Carpet, and you do sell and floors. What trends are you seeing? Are you seeing a little bit less carpet being put in and a little bit more LVT? Talk about that if you would.
Yeah, LVT is the hot item right now. It absolutely is. And I don't think it's displacing the carpet industry. I think it's displacing the laminate industry. The gripe with laminate flooring was that it always had issues with moisture and water, and the LVT thing has eliminated a lot of those problems. And that's what people want. They want a more permanent solution, a more headache-free solution. And I think the LVT has that, at least, you know, presents that promise. And I think it's still way too early to call it the winner that everybody seems to think it is. But I think it has great upside.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, we've seen some decline in the overall market share of carpet. Do you think that might be cyclical?
I don't know. I actually think if it is, it's going to be, the cycle is going to protract to a bigger cycle, because what's displacing carpeting is a more permanent solution. And instead of every 7 years changing carpet, people are probably perhaps not changing it as frequently.
Right.
I mean, the hardwood flooring industry is really what changed everything. I mean, once you lose the living room to the hardwood floor, and you're not getting that back.
Yeah.
You're not getting that back anytime soon. And not only that, with the pre-finished hardwood floors, with the, you know, the extended warranties and the aluminum oxide finishes and the urethane finishes that they have today compared to the old way of just putting polyurethane down over sanded wood, you get a floor that's going to last a long time.
Yeah. Now, this wood floor that might need a little maintenance 5 or 6 years from now, do you offer that service as well?
We do not. It's not part of our quiver of arrows.
Uh-huh. You mentioned a minute ago that at the peak you had 50 units out there. Where do you stand today?
We're 35.
35, okay. Well, Brendan, I really appreciate you sharing time with us and talking about your business model. I thought it was really unique. You've been talking to Brendan Phillips with Smart Carpet.
And flooring.
And flooring. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.